called whistleblower. To be called one is gaining popularity these days. They are the ones who exposed a big-time scam involving the pork barrel of our legislators that is at the present is estimated to be in the billions of pesos. One thing bothers me, though. These whistleblowers are being treated like heroes when they were originally part of the scam. They benefited from the scam, and now they are being treated like heroes. Some of them decided to expose the brain of the scam because they felt they were shortchanged. Hero? I don't think so. It is more like the English saying, there is no honor among thieves. Well, we are dealing with the calling of Moses in that encounter made famous by the burning bush. And as God commissions Moses back to Egypt among his people, the Israelites, Moses worries that he might be accused of pulling a scam. After all, he is being told to make the claim that Yahweh appeared to him. Aangkinin niya sa harap ng mga Israelita na si Yahweh ay nagpakita sa kanya. Now, it is true that Yahweh appeared to him. But why would the Israelites believe a 40-year fugitive? Bakit nila paniniwalaan ang isang pugante ng 40 taon na? This is an unlikely man coming from nowhere in the wilderness of Midian making the wildest claim. After assuring Moses who he is by name, I am who I am, meaning I am the only one and I am always here, now Moses will be given assurance that he will secure the hearing of the people of God, the Israelites. Moses needed that assurance. We need the same assurance. I invite you to turn your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 3. And we'll read verses 16 to 18. Exodus chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt. And I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they will listen to your voice. And you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. And now please, let us go a 3 days journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. As I have observed in the past, in the previous messages, there are sidelights in this encounter which will teach us valuable lessons concerning obedience to God, submitting to His call. But ultimately, we must see in Moses the man whom Yahweh is calling to be the mediator. And therefore, the ultimate fulfillment is the Lord Jesus Himself. Tama na kumuha tayo ng mga leksyon ukol sa buhay ng pananampalataya, pagsunod sa Diyos, pagpapasakop sa Kanyang panawagan. Pero ang pinaka-ultimong leksyon sa katauhan ni Moses ay ang ultimong katuparan sa tagapamagitan, yan ang ating Panginoong Heso Kristo. And here, the Lord Yahweh is giving Moses the assurance that he needs that the Israelites will listen to him. How we need the same assurance. And this is my message. God's gracious power attends the message that secures his people's response. God's gracious power attends the message that secures his people's response. Ang mapagbiyayang kapangyarihan ng Diyos ay sumasama sa kanyang mensahe na siyang kukuha ng pagtugon ng kanyang mga tao. God's gracious power attends the message that secures his people's response. The church today is similarly situated as Moses was at the burning bush. How can we have a response, we ask? If Moses is asked to make a big claim, The church, even more so, has bigger claims concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses is going to claim, Yahweh appeared to me, the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he appeared to me. That's a big claim. But our claim is even bigger, that God himself came down to earth, lived a perfect life as man, yet died the death of a substitute for sinners, and then rose from the dead. Those are very big claims. How can we secure a hearing for big claims like this? We claim exclusive salvation through the one who died on the cross and rose from the dead. And the assurance to Moses should therefore sound very assuring to us that it is God's responsibility to secure the hearing. We tell the message, but the securing of the hearing is God's to perform. And two things that we should therefore see behind the message is first, God is the owner of the message. Ang Diyos ang nagmamayari ng mensahe. God is the owner of the message. And secondly, grace is the power of the messenger. Ang biyaya, ang kapangyarihan ng tagapagmensahe. Grace is the power of the messenger. Now, first of all then, God is the owner of the message. Several times in this passage, Moses is told exactly what to say. What to say to the Israelites, what to say to Pharaoh. So the words did not originate with Moses. He did not invent the message. He did not concoct the idea. The message was Yahweh's. And to the extent that Moses is going to be faithful to the content of the message, Yahweh guarantees to him that his people will listen. And how we need the same conviction. What we are commissioned to tell the world is God's own message. Ang isinugo sa atin na dalhing mensahe sa mundo ay mensahe ng Diyos. Hindi natin ito inimbento, hindi natin ito tinimpla, hindi natin ito kinata ng sarili natin. What we are commissioned to tell the world is God's own message. The words of the message, as far as the church is concerned, are already complete. We have them in the completed scriptures. There will be no more addition to the scriptures until Jesus Christ shall come the second time. Well, there is this popular idea that the main occupation of the church today is to be relevant to the age. And many churches and Christian groups have bought into this idea that what we need is to be, to use their vocabulary, seeker-friendly. By that they mean the church must give to the average churchgoers what they are looking for in a church. And this often translates into a kind of meeting that is entertaining, music style that is upbeat, anything that is calculated to draw the reaction, this is cool. And God must be cool. Preaching, if there is preaching at all, is the time to inspire. And the Bible is used for how-to ideas, how to succeed, how to be at peace, how to do this and how to do that. And they are giving us steps of a successful life. Messages are characterized by emotional challenges. And whatever the message, bottom line is, don't threaten. Preaching must not be threatening. This is the present approach that is filling our churches. Cheer, entertainment. Jesus is fun. No. Go back to Moses. Would Moses have that idea from the message that he is being commissioned to tell? That he will tell the Israelites, God promises redemption from slavery in Egypt. He will tell this to people who from all their lives, from the day they were born, they were already slaves. And that Moses is going to tell them there is this promised land in Canaan, but you know what? It's full of enemies. You have enemies here among Egyptians. There are more in the promised land. And that's what God promised to give you. And how about what he was to tell Pharaoh? To let go of his slaves that were profitable to his economy? Let go of the slaves that were serving the interests of the Egyptians? I imagine this is the kind of message one would simply say, yeah, right. Do you think Moses felt that he had a fun message, a cool message? This is a message that will invite mockery, both from the Israelites and from the Egyptians themselves. He is going to Egypt not to make a seeker-friendly message, not to the Israelites, not to Pharaoh. He will not set up meetings complete with the latest of Egypt's upbeat music and attract crowds. Rather, he will go to Egypt with a message of redemption from slavery, expecting that he would be laughed at by the slaves themselves and he would be mocked by the slave-owning Pharaoh. And exactly that is what the church is today. The church's message, what we are telling the world, is a message that to the wise is foolish. The one thing that will make us go and tell the message anyway is the conviction that it is God's message. One of the heroes during the American Revolution in 1775 was a man who was not even a soldier, Paul Revere, and the famous Midnight Ride. When intelligence was received that the British forces were going to attack that night, Paul Revere, on his horse, rode through the night, warning every household, warning the troops, and therefore the British came and found out that the enemies are ready and were unable to proceed. But that's because someone braved the night, knowing that he had a message that he must tell, coming from authoritative sources, and he did a heroic thing. Well, what will help us brave the night, so to speak? What will help us tell the world, even though that would invite mockery? Because we know this is God's message. We did not invent it. And the challenge to us is refresh your conviction that we have a message to the world from God's word. Is it popular? Not at all. Is it inspiring? That is immaterial. What matters is that it is God's message. It is God's word. And Moses will have his moments of doubt and distress when he has already assumed leadership of Israel. And I am sure that he would have often recollected this encounter in the burning bush. And one thing that he will refresh in his conviction is that I am just telling them what I was told by Yahweh himself. He owns the message. It is not my message. Well, you see, this is our problem then. While maintaining the orthodox position concerning the inspiration of the scriptures, we find ourselves shaken by doubts, nagging questions concerning the scriptures. Are they really the word of God? Can we still hold to creation as God's word when confronted by opposition from learned men of science? Tayong mga magulang, mapagtatanggol ba natin ang pagdidisiplina ng ating mga anak na gumagamit ng pamalo ayon sa kasulatan, samantalang napapaligiran tayo ng mga taong nagsasabing lumang patakaran na yan, maling pagkamagulang ang gumamit ng pamalo? Maharap ba natin ang ganyang mga hamon? And above all, can we hold fast to an exclusive gospel of salvation in the face of pluralism in society? Moses will speak of one Lord, the one who introduced himself to him. I am who I am, the only one. And he will tell this in an Egyptian society where the mentality was the more gods, the better. Do you think that will be a popular message? So the church must tell the world of one Savior, one Lord, who alone saves from all slavery to sin, and there is no other Savior. This is exclusive. And why would we readily gain the mockery of the world for that kind of message? Because it is God's word. At dito natin hamunin ang sarili natin. Kung minsan naharap tayo sa mundo na tinatawanan, iniinsulto, ang ganyang pananalig, kung minsan tayo napapatahimik o maaring tinatanggap natin ang mga pagdududa. Do you have doubts? are questions nagging at you? Because if you allow them, the result is tentative witness. If Moses has the assurance of God's from the burning bush, the church possesses a greater assurance, inasmuch as Jesus is greater than Moses. Listen to this in Hebrews 3, 1 and following. Consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house, for Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. We have a more sure word, now complete in the scriptures. God commanded Moses, tell this to the Israelites, tell this to Pharaoh. And he could be taken to account with a challenge, is that what I told you to tell? This is the accountability that many pulpits, broadcasts, tracts, publications will have to give account to God. When God shall tell them, I did not tell you to tell that kind of message. The challenge to some of you is, have you told? Have you told your child? Have you told your parents? Have you told your dear friends? Imagine on the judgment day, in that great concourse of humanity, when God shall sound his judgment on sheep and goats, and you feel a tap on your shoulder, and when you turn, it's a familiar face. Imagine a parent, a sibling, a friend. And he tells you crying, I am being sent to my damnation. And you knew all along, you never told me. So imagine that. If you will be guilty of someone's blood for not having told. To some of you, your problem is you have been told many, many, many times. And yet you continue to sit under the sound of telling you the gospel and will go home unsaved to this day. And when you stand before the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus, you can never protest, I never heard, nobody told me. The fact is you've been told again and again and again, and you went home again and again and again with nothing in your soul. You know the famous celebrities Elvis Presley and Whitney Houston, besides the common thing that they were good singers, superstars, they also died tragic deaths. Another thing common about the two, both grew up in a Baptist church. They heard a message. They could sing gospel songs. Elvis Presley had only two Grammy Awards to his credit. One is How Great Thou Art, and the other is He Touched Me, both gospel songs. And yet, Presley, Houston, died tragic deaths outside the pale of grace. Don't let that happen to you. The message is God's. And as a church, we refresh the conviction. The message is God's. Secondly, grace is the power of the messenger. Ang biyaya, ang kapangyarihan ng tagapagmensahe. In the face of the power of Egypt and the helplessness of the Israelites as slaves, who will hear Moses? And this is where the message of Exodus is something that we must hold fast to with conviction. Redeeming grace has more power than enslaving sin. Ang biyayang tumutubos ay higit ang kapangyarihan kaysa kasalanang umaalipin. Exodus is the Old Testament redemption. No event in the Old Testament is like it in setting free an enslaved people by the mighty hand of God. And if the Israelites were set free by the hand of a mediator like Moses, much more so in the New Testament. But by the measure that it is greater, its neglect carries a compounded gravity of offense. Listen to Hebrews 10:28. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God? It's the simple principle. Punishment is worse where privilege is greater. Mas masaho lang parusa kung saan ang pabor ay mas dakila. At mas dakila ang pabor ng mga nakarinig at dinatnan ng mensahe ng anak ng Diyos. In the gospel, we have a greater display of the redeeming power of grace over sin's enslaving power. In Exodus, we saw the Red Sea divided. We saw God providing for His people miraculously in the wilderness. Great signs and wonders. But they are nothing compared to the man on the cross who bore upon himself the sins of sinners, the sins of the world. And judgment was meted out upon his head. And he died a substitute's death. And yet he entered into the presence of death victorious as he rose from the dead. Nothing could match that. And history reveals the power of grace. It has saved persecutors. It has turned around atheists. It has transformed immoral, vicious people. That's what the testimony of grace tells us. So Moses was simply told, tell this, they will listen to your voice. Compare this to the call, for example, of Isaiah in Isaiah 6, where God tells him, your ministry will be a ministry of judgment. They will keep on hearing, but they will not understand. They will keep on seeing, but they will not perceive. Or the call of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was told, they will hear and not obey. But in the case of Moses, they will listen. Now, where do you think is the situation of the church? I believe the situation of the church is that we are now in the period of harvest. The New Testament church is sent on a mission that is promised a harvest. The harvest is plenteous. Believe in the restoring, redeeming power of grace greater than sin. One of my favorite TV shows where I have the time and I could catch that show is Restaurant Impossible. It is a restaurant expert in everything that pertains to restaurant, from food, menu, business matters. And what he would do is offer himself to a restaurant that's losing, that's failing. And with $10,000 as his only fund to restore everything in the restaurant, he will make a wonderful transformation of that restaurant. Well, that's just restaurant. And man is skillful to do that. We are here with the tested ability of redeeming grace to turn around failing lives. We must believe it. Plead for and exercise confidence in God's redeeming grace to attend His word. Magsumamo ka at magkumpiyansa ka sa salita na nagtutubos sa biyaya ng Diyos. The mission of the church is not the place for pessimists who always expect failure and fruitlessness. Moses will go to Egypt secured in the assurance that when he tells the Israelites what God commanded him to tell them, that God will attend to his own words and give them efficacy in his hearers. Jesus does more. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they will follow me. So from Moses to Jesus, we have the same principle, but this time with a greater display of power, what redeeming grace can do. Even in the face of generations of slavery, it can set free. We must refresh that belief, that confidence. The moment I lose my confidence in the power of grace, I should not stay in this pulpit one moment longer. So with your Sunday school class, so with your Bible study. The reason why we are telling this as we should is because we believe in the power of redeeming grace. God still proves that he can secure the hearing, even of the most unlikely and the least expected. Believe in that grace. Our gracious God is ready to attend to his word, but the Lord wants to be pleaded with. And so we must plead. Mary Ann Thompson, in the year 1868, watched her child struggling with typhoid, and she pleaded with the Lord. And one of her pleas is that she will be ready to send him as a missionary in order to serve the kingdom for the glory of God. And she wrote a poem that later became a hymn. We do not know what happened to the son, but the hymn survived. And that is now the hymn, O Zion Haste. The last verse of that hymn probably was what was the substance of Thompson's prayer. Give of your sons to bear the message glorious. Give of your wealth to speed them on their way. And brethren, are we doing that? Are we giving time, wealth, and effort in order to be telling people the good news? We sang a while ago, speak with a voice that wakes the dead and make thy people hear. This is still the power behind the words of the gospel. When God attends that word with power, no immoral heart, no stubborn mind will continue to resist the word of God. That's the conviction that we must muster in the face of the message we are told to tell. We are a powerless church sent to the world by God with a powerful word. Then tell the world. Let's close in prayer. O dakila naming Diyos at mabuting Ama, panalangin namin na bigyang bisa mo ang hamong ito na tinanggap ni Moises, na mas lalot higit na may karapatang ang kininang iglesia matapos na bigyang katuparan ng lahat ng aming Panginoong Heso Kristo, na kami tunay na maniwala na ang mapagbiyaya mong kapangyarihan ang sumasama sa mensahe upang magkaroon ng katugunan dito. But grant that we may refresh our conviction that the message is not our invention, not our concoction. The message is owned by you. What we are commissioned to tell the world is your own message. Let that conviction be refreshed, for we sometimes feel shaken by doubts and nagging questions when confronted by men of learning and those who arrogantly question the authenticity of the scriptures. So grant that we may have that fresh conviction, and that as stewards of the message that belongs to you, as you have told Moses to tell, so you have commissioned us to tell. Speak to anyone here who has not been zealous in this matter of telling. They may have the true Christian faith, but they are silent in their household, in their workplace, in their dorm, wherever they are. And there are people to whom they have been given access by providence, and yet they have remained silent. May you give them the fresh conviction that they are telling to others your word. Others here are in a situation where they cannot protest that they have not been told, for they have been told again and again. They have heard, but yet they have not been responsive to this day. May your grace prove and display yet once more its ability and power to overturn the depravity of the heart. And grant that this may be our real confidence that grace is the power of the messenger. We do not know how the world will tolerate that kind of message. It is not popular. Much more preferred are emotional, inspirational sentiments. Yet this is the message that alone can save, and we are given the commission to tell it to the world. Grant that we may be faithful to our commission, and may we truly believe redeeming grace is greater than enslaving sin. And when we are confronted with what sin can do to a man, may we believe that grace can do so much more. So help us to continue as a church with this conviction, continue in this pulpit, in our Sunday school classes, in our Bible study, in our household devotions, and in everywhere else. We may hold fast to the conviction that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And with this conviction, help us to tell in Jesus' name. Amen.